Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
Now, I love Disney. Disney trivia games, love to play them. Disney movies, love to watch them. Disney songs, love to sing them, especially at the top of my lungs or in a lip sync battle. I've Got a Dream from Tangled and Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas are my top two go-to songs. I even have a fun video, but we won't watch that this morning. But the great thing that we love about Disney is the what if. What if toys came to life when we weren't watching? What if cars could talk? What if we could see the true inner workings of a lion's pride? What if we all got a genie? What would those three wishes be? What if a princess going to coronation, becoming a queen, had ice powers, right? We love these what ifs. But another thing we love about Disney is the castles and the stories and the far-off adventure and the princes and princesses and some of the fights and the action that are in them, like Big Hero 6. But we also love happy endings. We love true love, right? That's a big thing in Disney. And here's the crazy thing, though. These 66 books of the Bible right here has all of that. The things that we love about Disney, grand adventures, castles, Bible's got that. Princes, princesses, kings, queens, Bible's got that. Action, warriors, fight, battles, true love, happy endings, the good winning in the end. The Bible is filled with those stories. And I personally find that incredible. See what I did there, guys? Because, yeah. You're going to hear me say the word incredible a lot this morning, but, you know, it's the morning. From the beginning to the end, we see people of faith. We see these Bible heroes who put all their trust in God, and God is able to use them in incredible ways. And it's my hope this morning that you learn that you too can trust God because he is worthy of your trust. We're going to start this morning off with Psalms 84:12, and it simply says, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one, there it is, trust in you. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We are going to look at two of my all-time favorite Bible stories, Bible people, or we have a character in kids ministry called Captain Confetti. And his whole thing is he tells 100% totally awesome Bible stories because all these Bible stories are true. These people really lived. These were really their lives. And his stories blow your mind. But the cool thing about Captain Confetti is he calls them historical records. He calls them historical documents because the Bible, even though they have a history section, the whole Bible is a book of history because all those things really happened. Places mentioned, you can still go visit today. That's pretty awesome or incredible. Those people, they really lived. The things we're going to talk about this morning really happened to them. In fact, these two individuals are known as heroes of the faith. I love reading them. I love hearing about them from different speakers and different perspectives. In fact, they are in Kids Church, the calendar, every year. Usually one in the spring and one in the fall. And the first one we're going to talk about this morning is my main man, Gideon. But when we walk through Gideon and the other gentlemen today, my hope, again, is that you will learn to lean on God, that you will trust God when you are facing a hardship or when you feel like your back's against the wall. Yeah. That you know that God's got your back and he's there for you. Something that I want you to think about and to chew on, and I'm going to say it a few times this morning. In Kids Church, we call it our food for thought. There you go. Yes, our food for thought. And this morning it says, this is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust. This is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Now, Gideon is found in the book of Judges, right? Boom, right here in the purple. Found in the book of Judges. And this part of his life is actually found in Judges chapter 7. But before we get into that, let's talk about the Incredibles. The Incredibles is a story of a family of superheroes. Now, I mentioned how much I like Disney. Guys, that does not compare to my dedication to superheroes. I don't have a room of Disney at my house. I have a room of superheroes at my house. But even though I love superheroes and even heroes in general, you can be a hero without being super or having superpowers. Some people call those vigilantes, like Nightwing and Batman and Green Arrow. Some people call them super spies, right? Look at some of the heroes we like that aren't really that super. You got James Bond. You got Indiana Jones. You got Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. What they do is heroes work, right? Stopping bad guys, saving the world, stopping these crazy weapons, disarming bombs, protecting a relic or an artifact. They stop bad guys, and that's heroes' work, but it's really not that super. The difference between an ordinary hero, and this is my first point this morning, and a superhero is how big or great their accomplishments can be. Heroes accomplish incredible, there's that word again, incredible things. But let's compare these heroes that I just mentioned to superheroes. You have the Flash, right? Who is super fast. Like, that's not even a way to describe that. He is like the speedster. But did you guys know Flash is way more than just a speedster? If you have time, you get look into the Flash. But one of the best well-known superheroes, we actually have some boys wearing him today, is Superman. Superman is well-known like everywhere, right? He flies, you know, Christopher Reeve back in the day, Dean Cain in the TV show, right? All these things, Tom Welling in Smallville. He flies, he's super strong, he's bulletproof, he has heat vision, and it's so cool. Then you got Green Lantern, who has a power ring, which allows him to do whatever he imagines. And these heroes are full of stories and things where they accomplish the impossible. Superheroes can do things that ordinary people cannot. Let's talk about the Incredibles family for a second. You have Dash, who runs faster than the eye can see. You have Violet, who turns invisible. You have Jack-Jack, who we still are learning all of his powers. But one of his powers is he can laser eyes. See, Dallin knows. You can also, he turns his whole body into fire, and he can vibrate. He does all these really cool things, right? Elastigirl, the mom, stretches. He can turn to metal. That's right. You know your stuff, my man. And Frozone, right. He can manipulate ice. And I was about to get to family adjacent, right? Because Frozone is like their uncle, but it's not really their uncle. They're just like best friends. Anyone have that? Like your parents have best friends and you call them aunt and uncle or cousin, but they're really not blood. Yeah, that's okay. The Incredibles have that too. But the cool thing about heroes, and one of the things we love about them, is being able to see and watch them do these incredible, impossible things. Things that sometimes we only wish were possible. Like, if I could find a real power ring, that would be awesome, right? But we wish these things were possible. But let me tell you, the things that we think are impossible are possible with God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. When you have faith in God, God can do the impossible because God is an incredible God. I believe I have that up there this morning as well. He is an incredible God who loves doing the impossible. And if you give him a chance, he will do the impossible for you and through you. You just got to put your faith, your belief, your trust in him. This is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Today's Bible hero was just an ordinary man. Remember, book of Judges, Gideon, judge himself. I like to call him the judge because he's my favorite. But he was an ordinary man that God said, hey, man, I need you to lead an army against Midian. These bad guys, these armies that have been mean to my people, the Israelites. And Gideon was a man of faith. And he trusted God's plan. And guess what happened? Victory, winning. God gave him victory over this incredibly huge, massive army with only 300 men. Gideon and his men were able to win with the power of God, with the help of God. It's kind of like this. It's almost so warm, I need to drink all of this. But this thing I'm about to show you is not new to most of you, hopefully. But in here is water, and water is a liquid, right? And liquid has some cool characteristics about itself. Like, for instance, it has to be in a container, right? If I ask someone, hey, can you come stand here and let me pour this into your hands and do not spill it on the carpet? But that's not possible. It would eventually go through your fingers. You need some sort of container to hold liquid. Something with a side and something with a bottom. If I poured it on this table, it would go, and I would be like, oh, that's okay. Carpet's absorbent, right? It would go everywhere. It needs something with a bottle, or does it? If you've ever gone to a restaurant and you've ever done this, and then you put your finger and you pull it out, sometimes it drips a little bit, but for the most part, liquid stays in the straw, right? But how does liquid stay in the straw if the straw doesn't have a bottom? That's impossible. We just learned that liquid needs a bottom, but look what I'm doing right now. Look, and the impossible is happening right now. And we know that liquid's in the straw because first, it's a clear straw. You're welcome. Also, when I lift my finger, all the liquid goes out. This is just a fun trick that can be explained through natural laws of physics that God created. But it's a fun reminder the next time you see a liquid or you see a straw or maybe both, maybe at lunch today, it's a fun reminder that God is a God of the impossible. God can do the impossible. He did the impossible for Gideon. Yeah, God is a God of impossible. He did impossible things for Gideon. He loves showing up where he is needed and doing miracles. God did a miracle for Gideon, giving him an impossible victory over a mighty army with only 300 men. And maybe you're here this morning and you need a victory. You're facing against something and you think it's impossible and you need that impossible victory this morning. What happened to Gideon, it was a sign to him and his men that he is the one true God. And it is a sign to us and a reminder to us, and this is what I love, that we can trust him as well. Gideon trusted God, it's true, and so can you. Gideon trusted God, it's true, and so can you. If you have faith, trust, you trust God, God is going to use you to do great things. I've seen that in my own life. Pastor Jeff mentioned traveling to Oklahoma. I never imagined that I would be a speaker, right? I was like, oh yeah, I'll preach. I love kids. I love God's word. I'll be a kid's pastor, but a kid's speaker? In my wildest dreams, I didn't think that was a thing. But God's favor and God's power and the trust in God has been evident in my life. And I hope to encourage you to put your trust in him as well. Because when we trust God, impossible comes possible. Unvictory becomes victory. This is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Now, it's been many centuries since Gideon got that victory over Midian with only 300 men, but God didn't stop working. God still works today. God still does miracles today. Couple examples. God is winning the hearts of people who do not believe in him. God is healing people of illnesses that doctors say cannot be cured. God is still working and moving in mighty ways. God is performing miracles for people in need through friends, family, neighbors, others, ministries. He's still in the miracle business. And God, I think it's important that we look at, why does God do miracles? Well, the first reason, God does miracles so that other people might believe in God. When we see God do something incredible, and I should have a slide for this if you're taking notes or just are, you know, a visual person. God, when he does something incredible for them or someone they love, they are able to know that God is will and God is real, and they get a faith of their own. They get a trust of their own. The second reason God does miracles is for us. It's for us as believers to help grow our faith. Because here's the cool thing. When we see God do something amazing, when we see God do something incredible, we can't help but trust him more and more. So, are you like Gideon this morning? Are you facing an impossible challenge? Do you need victory in your life? Do you have a friend who needs God's help? Do you have a friend who doesn't believe in God? Here's your first thing. You need to talk to God about that. You need to pray, and you need to pray for that person, intercede for them. Pray and ask God to give you a victory if that's what it is. Maybe ask God for you to be the miracle for that friend or family member. Ask God to use you. God can still do the impossible. And if we have faith, he will use us to do the impossible, to make the impossible happen. So next time you are facing a difficult challenge, I want you to remember Gideon. I want you to remember how cool liquid is and all the things you can do with it. I want you to remember that God loves you. He is an incredible God. And you can trust him. Blessed are those who trust him. This is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust. My second point this morning is heroes ain't no quitters. It's not exactly the words I said, but heroes don't quit. You don't become a superhero by giving up and being a quitter. Or I guess you don't stay a superhero if you quit and give up. You see, superheroes are tough. They're resilient. They get knocked down, but they get back up and they keep fighting. They suffer. They have losses. They lose partners and sidekicks. They go through tragedies, but they find the will to keep fighting. They know that good will win in the end. They have something that we like to call positivity. They stay positive, and we see this both in Incredibles 1 and Incredibles 2. They are optimists. Let's use this as an example. Okay, you guys know Batman, right? Batman? You guys know Batman? Okay, so Batman, world's greatest detective, right? He will not show up to a crime scene in Gotham and go, oh man, look at this thing that Joker created, this doomsday device. You know what? That's the end of Gotham. Joker, you win. See you later. Bye. Batman does not give up. That would be crazy. That would like defeat the whole persona of Batman. Batman doesn't give up. Heroes don't give up. And we don't give up either, because we serve the real hero. We serve an incredible God. There's that word again, incredible. They have faith in themselves. We have faith in God. As long as there's breath in their body, they keep on fighting. As long as there's breath in our body, we keep praying. We keep fighting. They are positive thinkers who never give up, even when the city and the law turn against them, just like in this clip from Incredibles number 1.
In a stunning turn of events, a superhero is being sued for saving someone who apparently didn't want to be saved. The plaintiff, Oliver Sansweet, who was foiled in his attempted suicide by Mr. Incredible, has filed suit against the famed superhero in Superior Court.
Mr. Sansweet didn't ask to be saved. Mr. Sansweet didn't want to be saved. And the injury received from Mr. Incredible's actions, so-called, causes him daily pain.
Hey, I saved your life!
You didn't save my life, you ruined my death! That's what you did!
Listen,
my client has no further comment at this time.
5 days later, another suit was filed by the victims of the L train accident. Incredible's court losses cost the government millions and open the floodgates for dozens of superhero lawsuits the world over.
It is time for their secret identity to become their only identity. Time for them to join us or go away.
Under tremendous public pressure and the crushing financial burden of an ever-mounting series of lawsuits, the government quietly initiated the Superhero Relocation Program. The supers would be granted amnesty from responsibility for past actions in exchange for the promise to never again resume hero work. Where are they now? They are living among us, average citizens, average heroes, quietly and anonymously continuing to make the world a better place.
Supers became illegal. They had to go in hiding. The whole thing about superheroes is they are called to help people, and that was taken away from them. They could not help. But we see Incredibles 1 and Incredibles 2, it eventually falls to the kids to save the day and the kids to save their parents. But let me ask you this question. How do they even know what to do? How do they know how to control their powers? How do they know how to use their powers? Someone had to teach them. Someone had to train them to help them. Their parents. In the privacy and comfort of their own home, they helped their kids. They just had to redefine how they were going to help the world. They just had to shift their perspective of what it means to really be a hero. And sometimes we need to do that in our own lives. Sometimes we need to redefine where our joy comes from. Sometimes when we're feeling like giving up, you know, they could have given up. They were made illegal. When we feel like giving up or letting into the bad times, we feel down. Sometimes we need to shift our perspective from Gideon could not have victory by himself. He needed help. He needed the strength of God. Sometimes our perspective needs to go from to God, help me. God, I need your strength. I can't do this by myself. He's listening. He hears you. He's a God of the impossible. He's a God that's incredible. The next person we're going to talk about this morning is a trademark hero of positivity. And it's probably one of my biggest and favoritest things about him. His name is Joseph, and he is found right here in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. And the really cool thing is, right here, first book of the Bible, not only Joseph, we see other stories of people who face challenges, face hardships, but they keep their trust in God, and then they see blessings flow. Abraham, blessings. Noah, blessings. Joseph, we'll talk about what happens to him. But here's the thing about Joseph. When we first meet him, he's a little brother. Who has a little sibling? Anybody have a younger sibling? Yeah, me too. Actually, I have a brother-in-law, so now I have two. Everyone else is older than me. But he was a little brother whose father loved him. His father adored him. He even gave him a coat of many colors. Did you guys notice I even changed jackets? Yeah. The other one is like, boom, pow, wowzer. This one's just colors. But his brothers despised him. And I think sometimes in the story of Joseph, we can just, whoosh, you see that? That was like dash right there from The Incredibles. Whoosh, we can just breeze right past Joseph's life. But remember, these are books of history. These are historical documents. These are people who really lived, who really went through these things. And I think we need to take a breath to really look at Joseph in his life, because some incredibly bad things happened to Joseph. So Joseph's brothers actually despised him so much that they did this. They stole his jacket. They ripped up his coat. I used to have one that was Velcro, but I don't have that one anymore. So that's the best we're going to get right now. But they took his jacket and they sold his, well, first they kidnapped him, right? Threw him in this little pit, stole his jacket. And then they sold their own brother to be a slave. And then they went to their father and said, Joseph's dead. They just straight up lied. But then Joseph was taken far away to Egypt, so far from home, where he was then sold again as a slave. He was bought by a wealthy man named Potiphar, and even though he was a great servant, he had an awesome work ethic. He was committed of a crime he did not commit, and he was thrown into Pharaoh's dungeon. Now, we don't know how long he was there. We know a long time because he was by himself, had cellmates by himself again. Joseph has every right to be negative, to give up, to let fear in, to quit. But as you continue to read on about Joseph in the book of Genesis, you see that he was a man of strong faith. He was a man who trusted God. He never gave up his hope. Heroes know that the good will always win. Well, if you take that word good and you rip out an O and you squeeze it back together, it spells God. And that's what Joseph knew. Joseph knew that God wins in the end. And I think it's so cool that we see that right here in the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 41 is where we're going to pick up on Joseph's life. But those blessings I talked about earlier, Joseph trusted God and he saw these blessings. Check it out right here. Verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, What is he talking about? Oh, well, did you know Joseph had power? Joseph was given a gift by God to interpret dreams. And so when he's in prison, he meets these two other servants, a baker and a cupbearer. And the baker, bad news. Cupbearer, good news. Pharaoh's going to forgive him. Pharaoh's going to give him his job back. It's great. So he does that. He gets his job back. And then later on, Joseph's still in prison. Pharaoh starts having these dreams. And the cupbearer remembers, there's this dude in prison who told me everything my dream meant. He can do the same thing for you. Long story short, he goes and he tells Pharaoh his dream. And here's the blessing. He became second in command of all of Egypt. Like all the sand, the Nile River, the pyramids. Second in command of all of Egypt. Right here it says, you shall be in charge of my palace and all of my people are to submit to your orders. All my people. Only with respect to the throne, which that's throne than Joseph, will be greater than you. And I think that is pretty incredible. Because right here we see what happens when we have faith. When we trust in an incredible God. Having faith means doing our very best to be like Joseph and stay positive. It means when we trust God, we know that he will work all things out in his time. Because God wins in the end. Let's go back to this. Let's look at this fun liquid right here, okay? We're not going to do the straw anymore. How many of you would look at this and say that it is half empty? How many of you would say that it's half full? This is a classic illustration of negative versus positive. Half full. See, I got some positive kids. That's awesome. Half full. Negative is, oh, that's half empty. There's not a lot of drink left. Half the pitcher is unused. And they're focused on that. Positive is like, whoa, look at all this liquid. I'm going to be so refreshed. And they enjoy what's left. Negative is, oh, it's July 29th. The summer's almost over. Positive is, guys, look at all these days of freedom we have left. What are we going to do? Who are we going to hang out with? Right? Negative is, what? We're going to a new restaurant. Maybe your parents take you to a new place. You're like, I don't know what they have here. I don't want to learn a new menu. Ah, change is bad. Positive is, man, I love change. Change is good. Change needs to happen. Change is important. A new menu? I can't wait to see what they have to offer. I love new foods. I will try everything at least once, maybe twice, right? Having faith in God means doing our best to stay positive. No matter what happens, we know that God wins in the end. I'm not saying that you can't be afraid. I'm not saying you can't be overwhelmed. I'm not saying you can't not feel like you need to give up. But the important thing is we don't let sadness, anger, overwhelmingness, that's a word now, overwhelmingness control us. We don't let it consume us. We do our best to know that God is with us, and we don't let the bad times keep us down. We place our faith in the Lord, knowing that in the end, everything will be okay. We put our trust in him, and when you have faith in the Lord, this is half full. And then it begins to fill, and it will overflow eventually, just like it did for Joseph. When we trust the Lord, we see blessings. We see an overflowing. Joseph's story could have ended so many ways, so many times. Kidnapped, betrayed by his own brothers, sold as a slave, he could have given up. Thrown into prison for something he didn't do, could have given up. He could have had a bad attitude. He could have been in negative. He could have looked at that cupbearer and that baker and said, no, I ain't gonna interpret your dreams. He could have given up. He could have forgotten his faith. And if he would have did that, Pharaoh's dream would never have been answered. Egypt would never have been warned about the famine, and many people would have died. Joseph is a hero simply because he stayed positive. He stayed hopeful. He kept the trust. Positivity did not interpret the dreams. It did not give him the wisdom to plan for the famine. Positivity kept him hopeful even in the dungeon. Joseph refused to let negative circumstances make him give up. He believed that God was with him. He knew that God would win in the end. Joseph trusted God, it's true, and so can you. God used him to save Egypt, his family, even the brothers who betrayed him. Joseph trusted God, so can you. This is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust. So let me ask you this question. How many of you consider yourself to be a positive person? Thank you for raising your hands. I appreciate that. Even in a dark day, a bad day, you see those clouds roll in and you're like, it's fine. There's a blue sky and a bright sunny sun on the other side. Sunny sun, that's a thing, guys. Who here recently has maybe had some bad days, a bad week? Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like giving up. Joseph could have given up. When you feel like being negative this week, I want you to remember Joseph. I want you to remember that he trusted God and you can trust God because God is in control. He's an incredible God who loves you and he loves giving victory like we saw in Gideon. He loves doing the impossible like we saw in Gideon, but he also loves pouring out blessings like we've seen in Joseph. What a shame it would be to give into the negative, to give up and miss the blessings that the incredible God has to give you. We're going to get ready to move into a time of worship and altar. And I want to end with this. Don't let bad times and a struggle take away your faith. Remember Joseph, remember Gideon, remember God is always with you and you can thank him in advance for the blessings that you're going to receive. I want you to channel your inner Gideon. I want you to channel your inner Joseph. I want you to stay positive and know that God will not let you down. We sang a perfect song earlier this morning, Do It Again. He hasn't failed me yet, and he won't. God will not let you down. This is a must. In you, Lord, I put my trust.